It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Revelation, and we're in the first chapter, and we're going to begin reading today with the 10th verse and really begin with the 11th verse. But please that you would open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. We may even back up and start with verse 9, but I hope that you're able to follow along. It's going to be a great study today. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the reading and then the study to follow. Revelation chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Let's begin with prayer now after reading those verses of Scripture. Father, thank you today for this precious time. Wonderful, Father, to come together and enjoy this precious study. So exciting. So exciting. We're going to see some things here, Father, I believe that probably the listeners have never seen before, and yet it's so clear and so evident. Help today as we look and please with your Holy Spirit that he will be able to penetrate the hearts of the lost today. And through this study, during the reading of your words and the speaking of your words, that folks will realize that they're lost, they're dying, and they're going to go to hell if they do not trust in you as their Savior. You died, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross of Calvary, that all can live if they'll just come by faith to you. We need that personal relationship. It is of the whosoever time. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope, dear Father, today that listeners, that there is no listeners that will reject the gospel today, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I believe, Father, there's going to be many today that have been saved, have trusted in you as their personal Savior, but they have never really studied this. And so we're going to look at it today, Father, with your leadership and direction. Touch our hearts and please direct us through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd found ourselves down to the place of the 11th verse. But first of all, as we look at that sweet 10th verse, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. this trumpet that sounds, and we have looked at John being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and we read with that John 16:13-14, "How be whom he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." What a promise is given there. The Comforter is come. I don't know if you've ever sung that beautiful hymn. But the Holy Spirit has come. The Lord Jesus himself said, I will not leave you comfortless. And so when he left and went back to glory, he had finished his work here. He sent the Spirit of truth. And it's wonderful because now, for the first time in history, during this time, the church age, we have the day of grace, is called. We have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes to live within our hearts. And that Spirit, he will guide you, direct you, and grow you. And for the very first time in our life, we have the strength to have victory over sin and have the joy of walking with you and learning all about you. It doesn't take some special teacher. Yes, the preacher, the pastor should be closer, than the people maybe, just because he spends maybe more time, he should. But that's not necessarily true in any way, because everyone has the opportunity to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior if they'll just come, again, the whosoever, if they'll come and then begin that walk. And, my dear friend, it's wonderful because when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you have the teacher. And whether you're a pastor or a teacher or just a person that is saved by grace, which is what we all are, you have the same opportunity to learn and to grow. And the more we learn, the more we study the Word of God, the more we are of unity. And we stand upon the doctrines of this book. A lot of churches today have gotten completely away from teaching any kind of doctrine, and they just don't believe in it because it causes division. It will never cause division because you are of the same Spirit. So you take the Word of God and you search the will of God through the Holy Spirit as he will show you the truths and teach you about Jesus. See, God the Father sent the Son, and then comes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to introduce us to the Lord Jesus and then to show us the Lord Jesus, teach us of the Lord Jesus. That's his purpose. Oh, what a wonderful time we live in. And so knowing all that then, as we read John 16:13-14, we have this great voice as of a trumpet, you know, like a war trumpet, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, with a shout, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What a beautiful place to start. That event could take place any time. That is a wonderful promise that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, that even if you have to face the grave, you're still going to enjoy the resurrection. Jesus will call you out. He'll come. He's going to come halfway to the earth. His second coming is actually at the end of the tribulation period, 7 years later. This time here, he is just calling his church home, and he meets us in the air, the Scripture tells us. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, because these verses are just too precious to not look at and to study. And so, please, that you'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the 16th verse. And we can even back up just a little bit to the 14th verse and read through, because that'll maybe pull it all together for you just a little bit better. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, what precious words. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we started reading in the 14th verse. Please that you study these verses of Scripture, because if you're born again, if you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, what's going to happen when that call comes is you're going to be taken up. You're going to receive your glorified body, whether you have to go to the grave or not. It doesn't matter. What a wonderful promise and hope that we have. If you don't know Jesus, all you're going to do is realize there's some folks missing. And you're going to stay right here on earth, and you're going to go right into the tribulation period. It's going to be the most horrible, awful time. People say that this is hell right now. This is hell on earth. No, it isn't. It's going to be close during the last 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation. But even that will be nothing compared to the lake of fire that you're going to spend eternity in. Please, Jesus saved you. Jesus died on the cross so that you can take your sins away. But he does not demand that you follow him. He doesn't demand that you believe in him. He is a God of the whosoever. And this is the age of the whosoever. So please, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart believeth unto righteousness. Please, with the voice, speak. Ask Jesus into your heart. Please do that today. As we look now at this 11th verse, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. This is the 10th verse. I was in spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying. So this trumpet is speaking, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, I am the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Write what thou seest. Write it quickly, and write it promptly. And we need to not only write it, but then we need to send it with the same urgency. This mighty voice, this trump that sounds, is none other than the Lord Jesus. We're going to confirm that here shortly. This mighty voice of our Lord calls to arms to these 7 churches, the 7 we've just read: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Get yourself familiar with those. Those are all literal churches again in Asia. They were churches at that time, and yet they represent all churches through all the ages. And there are 7 church ages, and we are in the final one today, without question, the Church of Laodicea. But we have all 7 churches are in existence through all the ages, but one is more prevalent in each of those ages. We can find those 7 churches today, but the most prevalent church today is the Church of Laodicea. And as we study that, you're going to find out that that is a pathetic excuse for a church, one that God says, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, and I'll spew you out of my mouth. And that is the very condition of most churches today. We are in the Laodicean church age, and you'll find that as we continue to study. Now we look to the 12th verse. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks. The number seven is the number of completion or perfection. And as we find, the seven candlesticks are golden. Gold means divine or righteousness. So right here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus. Seven being complete, gold being divine or righteous, and so we have the picture of the Lord Jesus. We also here have the picture of the church, the true church, which is Jesus, is the head of. And so as we look at this 12th verse, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And so that represents the true church. Now, when I say the true church, that is only believers. That is not just folks from the church that I pastor. Some believe that to be so in their church. That is not so. Only God knows the heart of the people that attend here. I hope that they are all born-again believers. They have trusted in Jesus as their Savior. If they are not, they are not part of the true church. Only if you know Jesus as your Savior. We may have true individuals, Christians, saved from almost every church and religion around the world, because somewhere, sometime, they bowed their head and they said, Jesus, please save me. And their heart, they trusted, truly trusted in Jesus. That's all we need to do. And so we have a beautiful picture, and that picture continues, because look at what's in the midst of those seven candlesticks. So we have the picture of the true church. We have a picture of the Lord Jesus, but now it gets clearer. In verse 13, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with golden girdle. What a picture. A picture of the Lord Jesus right in the middle. Jesus is the head. He is also the foundation of the church. We build everything upon our Lord and Savior, and He is our leader, our head. Jesus is the head, the heart, and the soul of the New Testament church, the church time right now. He is the church. And if you have taken the Lord Jesus away, if you have ignored Him, rejected Him, you have no power, you have no strength, you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior. You need to call upon Him as your Savior. You have probably experienced, if you are born again, and you're having a conversation with somebody, whether it's in a store or a street corner or in the church or in your home, maybe you've got someone visiting, and you have been talking about God this and God that, and yes, God's done this, and God answers my prayer. And then you begin to say the name of Jesus. Have you ever noticed how quickly the conversation ends? They can talk about God all day, but you start mentioning the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And immediately there is division. I've witnessed that many times, and you probably have too if you're a born-again believer. We have seven candlesticks. Seven candlesticks. If you'll go down to the 20th verse, Scripture confirms Scripture. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Scripture confirms Scripture. We're going to look at some very, very literal things in the book of Revelation. People try to spiritualize this book. We're not going to do that. We're going to look at it at its face value and let the Spirit of God direct you as we study it. Seven candlesticks, the seven churches. We made reference the last couple of times we've been together about the tabernacle. It is so important that you go back to the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, see the tabernacle, see the travel that the tabernacle took, the trip that it took, what it meant to God and to man. The tabernacle was the meeting place between God and man. And our Lord Jesus is our high priest. He is the go-between ourselves and God the Father. This picture here of the candlesticks, seven candlesticks, we are reminded of the lampstand in the tabernacle. We have the courtyard. We come into the courtyard and there is a brazen altar. Beyond that is the brazen laver. Beyond that is what they call the tabernacle, the tent. And this tabernacle is 45 feet long and 15 foot wide and 15 foot tall. It is made up of two rooms. The first room is 15 by 30. The second room is 15 by 15. And it all has a ceiling height of 15 foot. So it's a cube that's in the back, the second room, and that is the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat will be found. That's where God dwelt here upon this earth when he would come to meet with the people. But only the high priest was allowed to go in, and then only once a year. But back in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place, 30 by 15, 15 foot tall, golden walls. It was acacia wood overlaid with gold, white linen ceiling, beautiful. We had a thick veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. It, too, was white and embroidered. There was a curtain at the entrance, too. And so when you would come into the holy place, there was only one source of light, and that was this lampstand, pure gold. And it was made up beautifully, and it had seven, three on each side and one in the middle. And the light that it put off was the only light that you had in this room. And the priests were allowed to come in and feed upon the table of showbread, fellowship, enjoy the sweet smell of the incense altar, and that's the three pieces of furniture, the table of showbread, the lampstand, and the third was the incense altar. The incense altar sits right before the curtain that goes into the Holy of Holies. Can't get into any of it unless you come to the brazen altar. The brazen altar stands for the cross. Brass, we're going to see shortly, stands for judgment. We'll speak of the laver a little later. Tremendous picture. Where'd this tabernacle come from? Said, I've never heard of it. The tabernacle was the instructions on the building, and its service was given to Moses when he received the Ten Commandments. The same time. You go back into Exodus, and you read the book of Exodus, and you're going to be shocked when you find this. And it's such a tremendous picture. If you do not understand the Old Testament and have studied the first five books, especially the first five books, yes, Isaiah, none of it is to be ignored. It is to be studied from cover to cover. But your original study should start with the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You study those books and you'll be amazed at how much you'll know and understand of the New Testament. You should never study the book of Hebrews unless you've studied the book of Leviticus. Many times you'll find that. There'll be a corresponding book in the Old Testament to help us to understand the New. It's a wonderful opportunity we have as believers to study the Word of God. This lampstand, we're going to look use a New Testament scripture verse 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus here is pictured as our high priest. We find that back in Exodus chapter 28, verses 2 through 4. If you want to look that up, I'll wait just a moment for you to, so we can read it together. Exodus chapter 28, verses 2 through 4. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for the glory and for beauty, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And once again, the high priest is the go-between God and man. This time he stands in the midst of the churches. He is judging. He is judging. Let's look at this 13th verse. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, in the midst of the seven churches, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with golden girdle. Look at what we just read in Exodus 28. That was the garment, the beautiful garment, for the high priest Aaron, Moses' brother. Aaron was chosen by God to be the first high priest. It wasn't chosen by man. It wasn't a popular vote. We know that there was some question. There's 12 tribes. Aaron is the tribe of Levi. The question was raised, who is going to be the high priest? Who is going to be the priestly line? And that would be the tribe of Levi we know today. But at that time, they didn't know. And so God told Moses to have everyone take their staff and put it in the dirt. And so each staff represented each tribe, 12 staffs. And he said, I will show you. And just about that fast, why the one that was the tribe of Levi, it not only budded, but it also brought forth fruit. An old dead stick. Oh, God couldn't do anything. So there's no question God chose the tribe of Levi to be the priestly line, and Aaron specifically to be the first high priest, representing the same position that our Lord Jesus has today. So we find that this time, as he comes, he stands clothed like the priestly line, like the high priest. Garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with golden girdle. Christ right now is making intercession for us. He's the right hand of the Father, so we would find him at the golden altar today. We also have the intervention of Christ. And this involves the laver that is out in the courtyard. The first step of salvation is to come to the cross of Calvary. So the first step that we have in the tabernacle is out in the courtyard and is the brazen altar. That's where the sacrifice was offered. That's where Jesus died for us. But until that time took place, that event took place, we know that the animals were brought for sacrifice. Right next to that, the next step is a brazen laver for washing. Washing by the Word. That's how we're cleansed. And so Jesus makes intervention for us. and what a glorious day it is. He is also our inspection, and that's what we have here. Oh, so quickly, we're out of time. We'll start here and do a little bit of review next time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?